passage that we're going to be preaching from this morning. It's a very well-known passage. I'm sure that you have heard it. You've maybe seen it on a license plate frame. And it's Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's just one verse that I'm going to read to you. But I do ask that you would grab a Bible and pull it out, because we'll be looking at other verses around that one. They're pretty important to know. But Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and I will read it for you now. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Lord Jesus, bless the preaching of your word this morning. Amen. This passage has been sticking with me for a while. I've hoped and planned to preach on this passage for a couple weeks now. Probably because it's such a well-known passage, but what is not well-known is the context in which that passage appears. Everyone knows, right, that the Lord has said, "I know the plans that I have for you." And what are those plans? Well, they're good plans, right? And so typically people say that to like a daughter or a granddaughter, you know, an alien colleague or someone who's just struggling in the church. When they're in the midst of uncertainty, they're longing for something to come. Maybe it's, you know, like, "Man, I've gotten rejected by three job interviews in a row, and I just keep on trying and nothing is working." And someone might say, "Well, you know, the Lord has said, I know the plans that I have for you." And it's always after these crisis moments that people usually say these verses. And they're supposed to be encouraging, and I hope that they are encouraging. They're meant to be. But I think, right, that they would be even more encouraging or would ring more true if we understood the context. Because typically they become like platitudes, right? Like, "Hey, no matter what bad thing is happening, don't worry because God's got a plan. And that plan is obviously to make you really, really happy. And so even if that doesn't happen this hour, it probably will happen soon, very soon. Because the Lord loves you and he's got a plan. And his plan is always to have you prosper tomorrow." But the fact is that the context of that verse doesn't actually say that. If you were to read earlier in the chapter and later in the chapter, and if you read all of Jeremiah, you would very quickly find out that Jeremiah is writing to a group of exiles in the middle of Babylon. And Babylon at that time was like this great, large, evil nation that the people of Jerusalem had come to fear and had actually been conquered by. And so half of the people of Jerusalem had been taken in chains to Babylon, where they lived in captivity as exiles, and there were still some people who were living in Jerusalem. And here we have the prophet Jeremiah, who's writing on behalf of the Lord, right, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he's writing to the people of Babylon, the exiles in Babylon, and he says to them, and this is the verse that is never said beforehand, but it's verse 4. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile." It's God himself who says, "Look, I brought you there into Babylon." And he tells them, "Build houses and settle down." And if you read on into verse 10, you're going to see that God says to the exiles that it's going to be 70 years that you're in Babylon. It's not going to be 6 days. It's not going to be just another month. But 70 years, he tells them, stay in Babylon, settle down, build houses, get married, settle in for the long haul. And if you read more of that passage, you're going to hear the Lord say, "You really don't want to be in Jerusalem. You think you're in exile and this is terrible, but that's where I want you to be. The people in Jerusalem who didn't listen to me and who didn't go into exile, they're the ones who are going to be experiencing the greatest struggles and the greatest issues." And that might be a bit of a shock, right? In the context of the Lord saying, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you," you might be thinking, as I'm sure the exiles were when they read that letter, "Well, Lord, what do you mean? If you plan to prosper us, wouldn't you get us out of exile as soon as possible and send us back to our homeland, the land that you gave us? Because that's clearly better than what we're experiencing right now." Now, as I preach on this passage, and we're here in Jeremiah, I don't want you to hear me say that this time of worldwide pandemic, this time of social distancing, it's clearly from the Lord. I can't tell you that, right? It's not that God has spoken to me personally and he's not spoken to anybody else and he's said, Devin, I want you to know that I've sent all the church into exile with this pandemic. There's no way that we can know. There's a lot about the coronavirus that for right now is just a mystery and probably will always be a mystery for us as followers of Jesus until the next life, if you will. But what we can learn as we spend some time in this passage is that there are some pretty key principles that all of us can take to not only live with greater freedom and greater hope and expectation, but also with a greater faith. And so the first one is that we've got to just take the practical advice to settle in. I mean, that is the advice that Jeremiah gives to the exiles on behalf of the living God. He says, settle in, verse 5, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters. All this to just say, look, you're going to be there for a while, settle in. Now, obviously, I don't have a word directly from the Lord that says to you, church, settle in, but I can be very practical and to say, everything points to this time of social distancing and me preaching into a camera lens and not standing in front of you face to face is going to last longer than any of us would like. And so it would be very practical to settle in, to not grow bitter, to not yearn for what was, to not waste this time just twiddling our thumbs or waste this time with anxiety thinking, oh, woe are we. We're in exile and there's nothing that can save us. Because we know that's not true. We know that God is good. We know that he's in control. We do know that he has plans for us, plans to make us prosper. And we simply do not know the details of those plans. And as we read here in Jeremiah, we find out very clearly that sometimes the Lord's plans aren't just rainbows and butterflies. It's not that we would eat cotton candy and be able to spend all the time in the world with our friends. That oftentimes the Lord asks us to settle into uncomfortable places, into places of exile. Now, I don't need to take you on a tour of all of Scripture, but I will briefly say that there are so many times in Scripture where God sends people into the wilderness. He sends people into exile. He sends people into difficult places, and he keeps them there. And he keeps them there so that they can continue to learn and to grow. So even if you want to briefly think of Noah, I mean, that was a very difficult time that the Lord used. The Tower of Babel, where he scatters everybody, that's a difficult time. The famine in the time of Joseph, the Lord uses to draw people together. The 40 years of wandering that Moses leads in the wilderness, that is a great time of growth. And even here, in this time of exile in Babylon, the Lord uses to grow his people. And so we know, right, it's practical for us to settle into this new normal, right? We can find ways to continue to live life as normally as possible. And that is a best practice, if you will. But in the midst of that, it's also really important to recognize that none of us should settle for what was. So what I mean, right, as we're settling into the new normal, that does not mean that this is the time for us to look backwards and to say, man, I just want to return to the way that things were. And that's exactly what happens here in Jeremiah when he writes that letter to the exiles, right? You can just hear the Lord saying, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to make you prosper. But right before that, Jeremiah, inspired by the Spirit, tells the people, the exiles, to seek the peace, this is in verse 7, to seek the peace and prosperity of this city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And you might hear that and think, I have no idea the context of that or why it's important. But again, let me just explain to you that you had a bunch of Jewish exiles. These were people who were devoted to their God, who were devoted to their city in Jerusalem, who were used to things like having a standing army and national borders, of having a temple, right, where they could go into and worship the Lord, where they could make their sacrifices for atonement. And all of these things have been taken from them by these evil Babylonians. And these evil Babylonians have come and captured them and brought them into exile into another land, into Babylon. And the temple and everything else is about to be destroyed and burned. And obviously the exiles are thinking, we want death and destruction to come to these evil people who have destroyed our lives and destroyed our city. And we want nothing more than to return and to rebuild so that we can worship the Lord in the temple like we're used to. And God writes and says to them, I actually want you to stay in Babylon for 70 years. Right? Judgment is going to come. They'll also have what's due for them. But for now, and for the foreseeable future, a solid 70 years, that's not a short amount of time, I want you to actually pray for those who you are in captivity of. Right? The city that you're in, Babylon, I want you not only just to settle down, but I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for their prosperity because it'll also help you prosper as well. And so these things that you think are necessary for worship, these things that you thought were essential for daily life, I've taken from you, and I'm not going to give them back to you for quite some time. Now, does that not ring any bell in your own mind for what life looks like for you right now? Are there not the things that you thought were essential in your life, things that you thought you had to have? You had to be able to go and see family on Sundays. You had to be able to have a consistent paycheck. You had to trust that the stock market would only continue to rise, especially in the context of the last couple of years where, man, all of these retirement funds have just grown and grown and grown. Right? You had to be able to, when you felt like it, go and spend an evening down at the diner and have a good meal. Maybe invite a friend or two. These are the essential things, and they've all been stripped away from us. Now again, I'm not telling you that this is all of God's work, but I can absolutely tell you that He has allowed it. There's certainly no chance that God is somehow not in control of what's happening and has basically said, look, I don't want these things to occur, but you know, my hands are tied in heaven and there's just nothing that I can possibly do. That's not the God that we serve. So whether or not God has caused these things, we know for sure that He has allowed them. And in the midst of essentially our time of exile, right, we can settle in, but it's not the time to settle for what was. It's not the time for us to just say, look, we're going to have to just hunker down for 3 months and close our eyes and just hope it all goes away so that we can go back to what was unchanged. In this time of distance, just like in the time that the exiles had, the 7 years of exile that they had in Babylon, right, the Lord says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, right? Plans to give you hope and a future. And the follow-up to that as He's explaining what exactly those plans entail can be found in verses 12 and 13 when God says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is the Lord writing to His people that He sent into exile. And He says, look, I know the plans that I have for you, and I want to draw you closer to me. And you want me to rescue you. You want me to rescue you from this land of Babylon, but that's not actually what you really need rescuing from. What you need rescuing from is the distance that you have with me, and I'm just trying to call you back. That's the plans that I have for you. My plans are that you would come back to me, and of course I'm going to bless you as you're with me, because I'm a loving God and you are my creation. And when you're apart from me, that's really the most dangerous thing that you could possibly experience, and I want to rescue you from it. Now again, I've got to repeat this time and again. I am not saying that for sure is what God is doing during this time, that's why the whole entire world is going through this pandemic. This is a very difficult time where a lot of people are losing their lives, where a lot of people are full of anxiety and stress, not just because of health reasons, but because of the economic strain that it's put upon the entire world. And maybe that's what you're feeling right now. And that's before we really have any great wave or surge of cases of coronavirus here in this area. So don't hear me say that this is basically not a difficult time. It is. Exile is a very difficult time. But historically, right, in our own lives and the lives of people who lived 2,600 years before today, people have always hated difficult times in life and have longed to be rescued from them. And God, throughout Scripture, consistently tells his people that I will rescue you, but it will be on my terms and in my timing. And so although we're so quick to say, God, look, I know life is hard, please save me, God always tells his people, I love you and I will rescue you, but I want you to be with me. And often it is the hard things in life that draw us closer to our loving God. Right, so we're called to settle in. I'm going to let you know, it's very practical, just settle into the new normal. I hate the fact that we have to meet online like we are right now, that I can't see you in person. But I'm willing to settle in and say this is what it's going to be for the foreseeable future. I can't tell you, I don't think it's going to be 70 years, praise the Lord. And I pray that it's not 70 years. But no matter how long it's going to be, we can settle into this. We can grow, we can learn. But I don't want to settle for what was. I have no doubt that it'll be so good to be able to meet together in person, whenever that might be. And I will just laugh being able to see your faces, and we'll tentatively hug each other or maybe fist bump. Who knows? Who knows what it's going to look like at that point? But what I want and what I pray for isn't just that the joy that we have of seeing one another is due simply because of absence, right? It's not just that absence makes the heart grow fonder. I don't want just that. I expect it'll be there. But my prayer for you and my prayer for myself is that we would be transformed by God in this time of wilderness, in this time of essentially being in a sort of exile, that when we are able to return, when we do see one another, it isn't just that we've been apart and so we long because of absence to be with one another, but we've been transformed by the Spirit. And that is exactly what Jeremiah is talking about. That's that verse when you hear someone say, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you. It isn't just, hey, continue to bear through this difficult time and wait patiently, but without any sort of expectation of transformation because good things are around the corner. But rather, this difficulty could be exactly the means by which those good things around the corner happen. It isn't just the time of waiting without any sort of action, but the action is an internal transformation by the Spirit. Because here is what I can guarantee you. It is what the Lord has told me, and I know that because it's what the Lord has told you. It's in his word. And that's the fact that both of us, all of us, are in exile, not just because of the pandemic, but we're in exile in a life, in a world where we are separate from God. And he sent his son Jesus in order to redeem us, to bring us back. And we're coming into this time of Easter. I mean, the timing of this in one way is terrible. And in another way, you're like, all right, Lord, this is perfect. And so here we have Jesus himself, right? Today is Palm Sunday. It's the day that people wave the branches and they say, praise God, Hosanna, he saves us. You know, and 5 days later, he's crucified. And you can think, Lord, why would you allow this to happen? Right, it makes so much more sense that you would just do this good thing of, you know, riding in on a donkey and then you save people with health and prosperity. And yet it is through the difficult times, the time of rejection and death, that ultimately leads to the best thing for us. And it's Jesus himself who refuses to leave this difficult time. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus says, Lord, if, you know, this, take this cup from me. I don't want it, but your will be done. And that's essentially what we're doing too. All right, we're not saying, oh yes, I love this pandemic. I love the fact that thousands of people are losing their lives, that millions of people are afraid of losing their income, of being unable to have food or basic needs met. Right, that, I'm not saying that this is such a great thing that we praise. I'm rather saying, Lord, if it is your will, take this from us, but your will be done and not mine. Your will be done, God, and not the human will that leads us astray. And so, church, I want all of us to use this time to grow in faith Right? I want us to settle into the new normal, but I don't want us to settle for what was. I don't want us to think about, man, life in February was just so easy. And that's what we want to long to go back to. If life ever looks like that again, I want us to be transformed as people, as followers of Jesus, who can say confidently, Lord, I seek you with all my heart. Right? The things that distracted me that I thought were essential, that were taken from me for months on end, I now realize they're really not as essential as I thought that they were. They're blessings, they're good things, they're gifts, but most importantly is my relationship with you. And we don't need to guess about whether or not we can actually have a relationship with the living God. That's guaranteed. That's not something that we're waiting for an answer from BBC or scientists to figure out a way that, you know, each and every person can receive this relationship over the next couple weeks. We know that, Lord, you have already, by the price paid by your Son, by his blood shed on the cross, which we'll spend time specifically looking at next week. We know because of this, we are invited into a relationship with you, and we're guaranteed to have it, right? That nothing can take us from your hands. And that's what you've called each and every one of us to. So church, use this time well. Don't waste it. Don't let it go by. It's a difficult time. I know it is. And I pray that the Lord continues to sustain you in that difficulty. But don't try to flee from it just yet. I encourage you. I exhort you. Use the time. Trust that the Lord is good, that he has plans for you, and that they're not plans to harm you. That even if he feels far away, he's actually the God that is imminently close to you. He's right there. And he longs to have you seek him and to pray to him and to come to him. And he will indeed listen to you. Church, use the time well. It's a gift from the Lord. Father, I do pray for this church. I pray for this world. Lord, you know the difficulties that people are experiencing, not just because of the coronavirus. There are so many difficulties that so many people have to deal with on a daily basis. Broken families, broken bodies. Lord, it's easy for us to get inundated. It's easy for me to get inundated by the coronavirus and everything that's blasted on the news. But I know that individually there's still broken hearts. There are people who are still waiting to be healed of things that have plagued them for decades. And so, Lord, I pray that in all of it, you would draw them close to you, that they would be able to have great confidence. I pray that we as a church body would have great confidence, knowing that all things you will use to draw us closer to you. And I pray, Lord, that we would rejoice knowing this to be true. Father, bless us as we go throughout this day, the week that's before us. Lead us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.